Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Aaron Glenn press conference a little bit later today, and this will be the first time that he stands in front of the media after a report of Tyrod Taylor coming out and being the starting quarterback, that is. Not of Tyrod Taylor coming out. That sounded strange. But if Tyrod Taylor, the report came out of Tyrod Taylor being the starting quarterback over Justin Fields, and of course, you have Aaron Glenn, who's been so protective of that information of who the starting quarterback's going to be. And then, of course, a reporter has it. So now, how is he going to handle it? And just like I said on Monday, the rest of the season does matter, not for the playoffs, but you want to build some momentum going forward. So definitely play Tyrod Taylor. Gives you a better chance to win and have a competent offense in Justin Fields. I think another part of that, though, is Aaron Glenn dropping this shtick with this whole thing, and then just looking like a guy who is not so antagonistic, chip on the shoulder, angry, and just dealing with this in a professional head coach football manner. So I think they learned on the field that Justin Fields wasn't good enough. Now it's time to learn off the field and handle this thing today like a head coach would. And not someone who is just looking to start a fight with the media for no reason. Just as we were talking about with the Giants, like when you're losing and you're 2-9 and you got all this other stuff that's happening around the organization, it's just the worst. So the Jets do have an opportunity here with the core players that they have and Aaron Glenn and Tanner Engstrom and Steve Wilks and Darren Mooji to build in the end of the season, win a couple games, be competitive, no nonsense off the field, and then go into next year after a big draft that they're going to have, feeling good about the team. And I honestly think that stuff like today and how he handles himself matters in that regard.
The thing is, they still have 7 games left. Tyrod Taylor may not be long for 7 games. So the question will be, do we see Justin Fields again? Do we see Brady Cook at some point? I mean, I would think that everything is on the table at this moment. You know, you're 2-8. The future, the immediate future anyway, is a little bit dark. But I would also try to challenge my team and try to get them to play hard and to impress upon me as the head coach and the GM that you deserve to be here if you want to be here. You know, and that's the thing. You know, and I just hope that players like Breece Hall and I do think that Breece Hall has personal pride and wants to go out there and be the best player and show everybody in the NFL that he is a great running back and he is deserving of a new contract. So there is incentive for him to go out there and do that. You just, guys that are in the final years of their deals, I'm not sure who they are, You know, are they making business decisions?
Yeah. Or are they trying to show that they deserve a big contract?
Right. And at this point, now it's all about effort. It's all about making sure that, you know, you find out about the players that you've acquired in your draft, I mean, in your trades here. And then the hard work really begins. And the hard work's going on right now. I mean, they are out there and they are looking. The scouts are out there and they are looking at all these college players right now. And they're going to be trying to find the right players. You know, they want to find their Drake May is what they really want to find. That mm-hmm. is the most important thing. You know, Drake May seems to be like a super stable kid. You know, he's not flying all over the place. He's getting coached the proper way. He's in the perfect offense for his skill set. And he is really growing into like a super young talent in the NFL. And the Jets need to have that. If they don't have that, they're going to be seeing, you know, Josh Allen for a minimum of another 6 years. And they're going to be seeing Drake May for another 12 years. I don't know what's going to be happening with Tua down in Miami. That's going to be a question that we have to, you know, that they'll have to answer themselves. But Tua has a huge contract. That's not going to be easy to move. Much like Trevor Lawrence is not going to be easy to move. So, I mean, there are a million questions that the Jets have to answer. And this is where Darren Mooney really is going to have to earn his money. I think he did a great job around the trade deadline. Now the work begins trying to find those players in college that are going to fit what you're trying to create there.
Yeah, we've talked about it so much, but the real work is getting the players that fit what they're trying to build and as much talent in as possible. And I always bring back when you put make the connection between the Detroit Lions and how they started with Aaron Glenn and his start here, that those drafts were just incredible that Brad Holmes had in Detroit. Just incredible.
But just remember, you know, Darren Mooney was around Sean Payton
mm-hmm.
turning around the Denver Broncos. That's why right before the trade deadline, if you remember, you and I were talking about what have the Denver Broncos done? What did George Patton do out there, their GM, when it came to the trade deadline? Like, they didn't do a lot.
Right.
But he still was around the discussion points and still around watching a coach basically turn an entire organization the right way. And that all began, I think, it began Sean's first year and Russell Wilson was his quarterback. And he fought through that year. He was frustrated. And I'm sure he had a lot of things internally to say that Darren Mooney was, you know, accustomed to or heard. So that basically builds whoever Darren Mooney's reputation and how he thinks it was built there in Denver. So now he makes these trades and he realizes that, you know, it was Bo Nix that ultimately was what turned it all around for Denver, even though he's not playing great. I'm not saying he's like Drake May because he's not in that class just yet. But at least they had a new young quarterback that could move and make plays, along with an old grizzled coach who knew how to get a winning attitude, you know, going in the right direction like he did down in New Orleans.
Yeah, but I mean, the Jets don't have an old grizzled offensive coach who's won a Super Bowl.
No, but these guys have been around it. These guys have been around, whether it be Bill Parcells or Dan Campbell or Sean Payton. They are around winning coaches. They're around winning attitudes. They're around winning cultures. So now it's their turn to try to build that here. That's what they're trying to do. And I think all of us know that. We all see it. And we're going to be hard knocks going into this thing. And certainly there have been some tough moments for Aaron Glenn. There's no question about it. But, you know, you don't take this job if you think it's going to be easy.
Yeah, no, of course not. And he wanted to be here, which is one of the positives about him. I don't like the way it's worked out to this point, but I did love the fact that he was one of the few people that really, really wanted to be a part of this organization's turnaround because he was part of this organization's turnaround many years ago. So if you are someone who is advising Aaron Glenn today from a PR standpoint, how to handle this press conference, what do you tell him to do?
If I were advising him how to handle it, just be genuine, and a sense of humor does help.
Yeah.
Just be yourself, but a sense of humor does help. Especially in a situation like this, you know, it's okay to laugh. You know, nobody's laughing at the fact that you've lost games, but we're in the middle of the week. You know, you're getting ready for the Baltimore Ravens, who are one of the hottest teams in the league. You're changing quarterbacks again. You know, a little bit of levity is not a bad thing in a press conference in the middle of the week. That's all I can say. I mean, just to show that everybody that, you know, yeah, you're taking it seriously for sure, but you're also a human being.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
BT and Sal back on the Fan. Let's listen to Aaron Glenn address the media since the first time the reports are out that he's changing the quarterbacks.
All right, good afternoon. Injuries. We have four guys of note. Two guys that will not be practicing today, but I'm sure they'll be just fine as the week starts to progress. And that'll be Harrison and Will. Again, I look forward to seeing those guys come out tomorrow and working on Friday also. Two other guys that I'll be practicing. Lino, he'll be back. His window is open. So look forward to that. And the next person is AZ. AZ will be coming off his concussion protocol, so he should be cleared after today's practice, which would be good to get him back out there. When it comes to this game, looking at Baltimore, they're an organization that a number of people look at and try to emulate because of the way they operate. When it comes to their players, I mean, obviously on offense, Lamar and Derek are two guys you got to get ready to watch out for, which opened up a lot of opportunities for Zay in the passing game. When it comes to their defense, everything revolves around Cal and Roquan, two really good players. But really, man, everything that we talk about, everything that we need to do needs to be focused on how we operate, how we improve. I'm not going to sit here and talk about how we got to clean things up because everybody has to do that. But it's more about the improvement part for us in all three phases that we have to do a good job of. And that's why we're coming to practice today. So the guys are upbeat. They look forward to go out there and practice. And we look forward to getting ready to compete against the Raiders and go try to win us a game.
So we already talked about the quarterback.
Why are you laughing?
The report that you're seeing new quarterbacks. Are you willing to share that with us?
Yeah. Said that on Monday. Talked to both of those guys. Talked to the team on Monday. So Tyrod will be our starter.
Why did you decide to make that move?
Because I wanted to.
What was the thinking in past weeks for strategic reasons? You waited until close to game time to decide which one. Why this week did you decide to go earlier in the week?
But I told you guys before that the players already knew. You know, I just didn't tell you guys that. So there's nothing strategic about that. The guys already knew.
A few weeks ago you said when you were considering before the Cincinnati game,
yep,
speak to people who've done it before, stuff like
yeah.
that. Did that happen this time, or this was purely your decision?
It was purely my decision, but I always have people that I talk to and just see how they handle the situation. And it's not even about the quarterback, to be honest. It's just a part of what I do, you know, during the week with some guys, coaches that I trust that's been successful in this league. And you know, some of those guys have been through the process of changing quarterbacks. Some of the guys have been through the process of being 2-8 situation that we're in and how they handle that, and just a number of things. But it was purely my decision. I felt like it was the time to do it. Again, had good conversation with both of those guys. And listen, these situations are not always easy, you know, but as a head coach, you have to do what's best for the team. And I feel like it was best for the team.
And Jerry, what was the conversation with Justin Mike? You know, first of all, was it private or was it two games together?
It was private.
Yeah.
It was private.
And what was it, I guess, what was his reaction?
That's something that I'm going to keep between us. And I think that's the best way to do it. But He understood my decision. Obviously, he's not happy with the decision, in which no one, and I don't expect him to be, you know, and you know, but he understands. And again, I have to make a decision as a head coach to try to do what's best for this team, and I feel like it was the best decision.
Does he have a future with this team, do you think?
That's a ways down the road, man. We're trying to get ready to win the game.
Good answer.
In the offseason and right all the way through training camp, you spoke glowingly, very confidently of Justin's ability to become a high-level starter.
Yeah.
What didn't happen?
You know, there's a number of things. I mean, obviously, offensively, you want your passing game to be better. And listen, and that's not totally on him. You know, there's a number of things that go into that. That's myself. That's the routes that's ran. That's drop balls. That's including him. And at this point, I just feel like, man, we have to do something to get this team going offensively in the passing game. And I just felt like it was time to make that decision.
Justin,
and listen, I do still feel strongly about Justin. That has not changed. But I do feel at this point that we have to make a change.
You said it's not solely on Justin.
Yep.
What else do you have to do that can help Tyrod, you know, get this offense going?
Yeah, we all got to be, you know, in sync together as far as doing that. So I'll talk to everybody that's involved. I'll talk to the whole offense. I'll talk to Tanner. You know, I looked at myself and what I can do to help those guys. So it has to be a collective effort in making sure that we do what's right by Tyrod, also to help him be able to succeed in the situation.
Is that Tyrod's job this week moving forward? Is this Tyrod's job from now moving?
We're playing the Ravens this week, so Tyrod's starting quarterback.
Good answer.
What's Justin's role this week? Is he your number two?
He's number two. Yeah, he'll be number two.
Where is, we haven't asked you about him in so long, but where is Brady Cook in his development?
Still developing. He's still developing. And listen, there's been a plan for him from the very beginning. And I wanted to make sure we do what's right for him. And who knows? You know, we'll see what happens as the season progresses. I'm not promising anything, but he knows exactly what his role is when it comes to this team. But I would say right now, Tyrod is our starter.
Not a quarterback question for you.
Chop Granger. Talk.
Okay. Well, there we have it. Aaron Glenn. I loved what I heard right there from Aaron Glenn.
Very much in charge right there.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, less contentious. Do we have more you want to keep going here, or are we good? Pretty good. I think we heard what we need to hear, right? I think for the most part, we got it. He touched on Taylor, touched on Fields, touched on Cook. You know, it's interesting, and this is a job that you have to learn as you go on, especially in New York City. And it seems like Aaron, without sacrificing his presence and his, you know, his leadership, like as the guy now in charge of the Jets, he seems to be a little more congenial, a little more friendly.
That was not combative.
That's what I like.
But
it was good.
But he could also be frustrated with the leak. If there wasn't a leak, and clearly one of the two quarterbacks or their agents said something.
Yes.
Because I doubt that it came from Glenn, and I don't know this, but based on the way the Jets have operated so far with Muji and Glenn, there hasn't been the leak. So I would assume that one of the two quarterbacks who we told, or their agent, maybe Justin Fields not happy, his agent wasn't happy, or Tyrod Taylor is happy, and I that's just me guessing. Either way, if that report wasn't out there, do you think Glenn would have named the starting quarterback at this point?
Oh, boy.
Probably not, right?
If he was consistent with, probably not.
Okay.
Is probably my answer.
Now,
yeah, I can see him maybe not doing it again.
But the fact that it gets out there leaves him no choice but to address it, so he addresses it head on.
Yeah, but hold on. It got out there with Garrett Wilson, and he still pushed back on Samini's report.
So Rossini's well, now. Samini was the 3 to 4 week injury update on Garrett.
He didn't push back on the report. He was annoyed at Samini for reporting it. Or at least that was my interpretation. I don't think he ever refuted what was reported.
Didn't confirm it though.
He was just annoyed that that had gotten out and that Samini had it.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're right. So he could have handled this in that manner. He didn't. And the one thing that I loved about it, no matter what, is that he is being truthful, open, and honest to himself and what he wants to say to the media. When you do that, nobody can get you. They could ask him questions any which way they want. He's answering it honestly. He's not back on his heels playing defense. He's playing offense. Here's what's up. Here's who's starting. Why'd you make that decision? Because I want to. Next question. And then they could ask it however which way they want. What about Brady Cook? We got a plan for him.
Yeah.
There's a plan for him. You may see him. You may not. We'll see how it goes. What about the future? Hey, man, we're trying to win a ball game this week. Worry about the future. Those are all honest, open things. He's not thinking too much. He's just being himself. I love that about Aaron Glenn.
The thermostat's been set in the room. Like, there's no walking in saying, is it going to be 72? Is it going to be 66? Like,
it's turned up in there.
Yeah, it is. You get a little hot, you get a little lit. But I think today was a little stabilized. Like, it wasn't as contentious. I thought he had a great balance of being in control. I think he's done a good job of that. Throughout, even during the contentious moments, because he's trying to change the way his team is perceived. He's trying to certainly change the DNA. And really, when he speaks to them, and I've said this when it first started, when he speaks to them and he goes after Rich or he's getting a little combative, I don't think that he dislikes Rich. I think what he's doing is he is providing like a template for his guys to now say, oh, all right, this is how the new Jets are going to kind of be run here. So let me kind of, in accord with what my coach is doing, let me make sure I don't have loose lips with the media, whatever it might be. One thing that you have to factor in, and this is not about the press conference, but this is just about the quarterback situation next year. Now, we talked with some of the prospects with Phil Simms. You guys missed it. Free Odyssey app. Mendoza, Dante Moore, Simpson, Bama. Those names came up. So if you guys want to check it out, go for it. Next year, the Jets are $35 million cap hit for Rodgers in 2026, pardon me. And there's a $22 million dead cap charge if they release Justin Fields. So Muji and Glenn, really Muji, and this may have been one of his biggest mistakes so far because the Jets stink, they decided to take the money that they owed Rodgers and split it up over 2 years rather than take that one big hit this year. Mm-hmm. Now, if he knew they were going to be two and whatever, he probably would have done that. $35 million cap hit for Rodgers next year and 22 more if you cut Fields in dead money.
He'll be here as the backup next year.
Yeah, no, I know. I understand
I think
that.
You
is that
could
a good
worse.
Thing? Well, here's the thing. I don't know. Now, I respect Justin. I think he's a good team guy. I don't really want Justin Fields showing my first or second or third or fourth overall pick how to read a defense, how to throw the football.
But they might
have Tyrod Taylor.
But maybe they don't take a quarterback. I mean, look, they also could cut him, take the cap hit. It's not like they're going to try to. They're not going to be a playoff team next year regardless, which is why I think it's a two-year plan that they knew the risk and said, okay, well, the reward could be if Justin Fields is good, we have him start year two and groom the next guy. Or worst case, we have to cut him and we're not going to be winning really next year anyway.
Yeah.
And maybe there's value there in having him as a backup. So you could do worse than. Look, right now, Justin Fields' value has never been lower. I think it's somewhere in between what we saw in Pittsburgh and what we've seen in the last couple of games. He can be better than this. Right now, he's not. You can't play him.
I agree. Tyrod's going to play. I'm just pointing out that they've got $57 allocated to quarterbacks, one who definitely is gone and one who might or slash should be gone.
Speaking of quarterbacks, Mike Kafka said that Jackson Dart has been upgraded to a non-contact practice for the Giants today.
Okay.
That's his next step in the concussion protocol.
He should be playing this weekend.
I mean, it's Wednesday. You would let's hope that's the case.
He was dancing around the practice field last week. He's gonna
I know. I thought I read something yesterday. I forget where I read it, but it seemed like he was trending in the right direction.
He'll be fine.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win, and they take a 17-point lead. You get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up! You get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
The Jets are boring, okay? They are mind-numbingly boring. Now, on Sundays when they play football, Sean, I like football.
Sure.
I'm a Jets fan. I find myself frustrated or entertained for 3 hours.
Yes.
But in the days around the New York Jets playing, they're a boring mess. The only thing interesting and entertaining about the New York Jets is their head coach. And so for as much as there's been hand-wringing about Aaron Glenn being secretive about the quarterback situation or being sort of douchey about the injury situation, can we at least all agree that Aaron Glenn is adding intrigue to an otherwise incredibly boring season?
He makes me laugh.
There you go.
So that's it. A baseline. Makes me laugh.
So earlier today, we all know Justin Fields has been benched for Tyrod Taylor. Once it gets reported 2 days ago, it's obvious. I found myself excited to hear how Aaron Glenn was going to explain it to us.
I expected Rich Shimini to take the podium.
Is that what you thought?
I thought maybe we would get a little play on that.
I didn't know what to expect, but here's what I knew. I found myself really interested in finding out how Aaron Glenn was going to approach it. So I want to set this up for you. Aaron Glenn takes the podium and starts talking about injuries. He just gives us updates about, you know, this guy's healthy, this guy's hurt, this guy's not practicing, AZ Thomas is out of concussion protocol, yippity-doo-dah. Anybody have any questions? Never mentions the quarterback, and that's where we begin our proceedings.
In past weeks for strategic...
Oh, not this one, not this one. It begins with Aaron Glenn saying, what's so funny? Because we're all laughing that you haven't mentioned anything about the quarterback. Your opening statement says nothing about the quarterback. So here's Aaron Glenn, who, again, is the most entertaining part of this Jets season.
Why are you laughing?
The report that you're going to be quarterbacks. Are you
willing
to share that with us?
Yeah. I said that on Monday. Talked to both of those guys. Talked to the team on Monday. So Tyrod will be our starter.
Why did you decide to make that move?
Because I wanted to.
See, you're laughing.
It makes me laugh.
I know there are people out there that get bothered by this. I want to make this very clear about Aaron Glenn. He is being judged by wins and losses and if this team is going to improve and look competent. That's a mixed message that we could all kind of argue about how he's looked through the first 10 games as coach of the New York Jets.
Right.
This part, he's actually making entertaining. When he says, what are you laughing at? I actually started laughing. And then when he proceeds to say, because I feel like it.
Because I wanted to.
Because I wanted to. So I'm good with the decision, but I'm actually now starting to appreciate that Aaron Glenn has decided to take a boring season and at least make it mildly entertaining.
Yes, but he's lucky it's year one, obviously, because if you're losing in year two and three and acting like this, it's not as funny. It's kind of like what, can I bring things back to the Giants real quick? My issue with Jameis Winston is he's really funny until you're losing and it's your own team and your own story and it gets repetitive again.
Well, no. The winning and the losing and the competence is how we're going to judge Aaron Glenn.
Yes, but I'm saying you get beyond this year, he's still doing this in year two and three and you're losing, you're not going to be laughing.
Well, you know why we're not going to be laughing? Because in year two and year three, being 2-8 is going to be unacceptable.
Right.
In this season, a season that has become a lost year, a season that is just boring, as I said earlier. Yes, of course, it's very different. This isn't year two or year three. I'm talking about right now in the moment. In the moment of a boring season in which he is a rookie head coach, I'm actually glad that he's finding a way to make me laugh in the middle of November.
I cannot argue that because he's making me laugh, so I'm not going to be a hypocrite.
I heard you chuckle right away.
Because it's funny. It's so stupid.
Now, the part I was very curious about was, wait a second, Aaron. Hold on a second. A few weeks ago, you wouldn't tell us who the quarterback was.
Correct.
In fact, you even hid under the guise of there's like a competitive advantage by making the opponent guess.
Yes, those opponents always shake when having a judge between Taylor and Fields.
And you mocked that, and even Tiki mocked it. But look, Aaron Glenn was at least making a point. So I appreciate that one of the Jet reporters, I think it was Rich Cimini, followed up by saying, I thought it was a strategic advantage. Why are you now telling us who the starting quarterback is? Take a listen to Aaron Glenn's answer.
In past weeks, for strategic reasons, you waited until close to game time to decide which one. Why this week did you decide to go earlier in the week?
But I told you guys before that the players already knew. You know, I just didn't tell you guys that. So there's nothing strategic about that. The guys already knew.
No, hold on a second, Aaron. Hold on a second. I remember what you said 3 weeks ago. In fact, we still have the audio of what you said 3 weeks ago. So I'm going to play you what he said a few weeks ago, and you tell me if Aaron Glenn was playing the strategic game that he's now denying he ever played. This is Aaron Glenn 3 weeks ago explaining why he wouldn't reveal who the starting quarterback was.
It was tough. I went through that in Detroit when it was Malik Willis and Jordan Love. And I thought LaFleur did a really good job of not saying who that quarterback was. And we have to prepare for both of those guys. So I don't see why we think this is something that hasn't been done.
I know you didn't use the word strategic, but that answer makes me think that the reason you didn't tell us 3 weeks ago is you did think it was a strategic advantage.
Right, because that's what the Packers were doing in that instance. You can say, you cannot use the word strategic, but understand the definition of it. That is strategic.
That's how I take it.
Yes, of course.
So I like Aaron. I think he's been entertaining, but I got to call you out a little bit. Like, it was strategic a few weeks ago. Why you've decided to change your tune now on November 19th, yeah. I don't really know. Maybe it is what I mentioned last week, that it was more of like a superstition thing, that while the Jets were on a winning streak, he kept playing that whole card of, I'm not going to tell you who the quarterback was. And now that they're coming off a loss, he figured, screw it, I'll just tell you who it is.
Yeah, and I also think that now as the season winds down and they got off their two-game win streak and a loss, maybe, I'm just guessing here, somebody got in Aaron Glenn's ear and said, maybe don't play hardball with the media the rest of the way.
But hold on a second. He began the press conference by playing hardball, by saying, because I feel like it, or I made the decision because I want to.
But he still
isn't that still hardball?
It's his way of hardball while still acknowledging, I'm going to give you this because I'm not going to be a jerk. And they laughed. They did laugh.
Because you know what, Sean? It's actually kind of funny.
It's funny because it's ridiculous.
Of course it is. And look, that the thing I've learned as a fan, good or bad, when coaches at press conferences, is to remember that we're judging them based on what they're doing with this football team.
Correct.
That's it. Like, Aaron Glenn should be judged on the record, which so far is not good. He should be judged on improvements, which I thought was going well for a while until they started committing dumbass penalties last week against New England.
Yeah.
That's how we should judge him. But the third thing I wanted to know, and I'm glad someone asked, is I agree with benching Justin Fields. And there are two reasons why I think this is the right move to make. Number one, in the whole who gives you the best chance to win card, the answer is Tyrod Taylor. Justin Fields has been mostly a disaster this year. His floor is a lot lower than Tyrod Taylor. And I know that you guys may disagree about this. I'm still trying to win games. And as long as I'm trying to win games, which I think Aaron Glenn is trying to do, Tyrod Taylor gives you a better chance to win. Do you agree with that, at least?
I cannot disagree with that. I am very curious, though, if you have the same question I have, because I don't know where we're going.
Well, the second thing that I like about this move is you need to evaluate other players on this team.
Okay.
Which is why you play the better quarterback.
Yeah, including you just invested in A.D. Mitchell, John Metchie. Like, you need somebody to get these guys the balls. You figure out if you need to add wide receivers in this offseason.
And that is a big part of why this decision needed to be made. It's not as simple as who gives you the best chance to win, which I think we agree is Tyrod Taylor. It's I need to evaluate some of the players on my roster.
Even Mason Taylor.
Yes.
You need to know what you need weapon-wise here.
And it isn't fair to A.D. Mitchell and Mason Taylor and Jeremy Ruckert and every other skill position player who wants to put up their numbers and succeed. You have a better chance of succeeding with just a better quarterback in Tyrod Taylor. So those are two reasons why I think this is the right decision. But the third thing I want to know about, and I'm glad Aaron Glenn was asked, is at some point this season, and I'm not there yet, but at some point this season, I'm going to say, bleep it. They stink. They're not going anywhere. I need to evaluate Brady Cook.
Let Brady Cook.
Who's the third string quarterback. He's an undrafted rookie out of Missouri.
Correct.
Missouri or Missouri? True story.
Okay. I mean, I call Mizzou.
Mizzou?
That's what adults call the college.
That's a nickname. I'm talking about the actual name of the state. It's either Missouri or Missouri. True story.
Missouri.
Missouri are those who live in Missouri.
Really?
Yes. I've spoken to the people out there.
Have you, though?
Yeah. I almost got a job in Joplin, Missouri. I was up for a job. They offered it to me. I couldn't move. I didn't want to move to Joplin, Missouri.
What's that, Market 30?
It was like Market 80.
Oh, okay.
You have a bigger audience in the street in New York City.
Maybe that's why I turned it down. So he was asked about Brady Cook. And here's Aaron, because this is the first time I think Aaron Glenn's been asked about the WFAN Sports Talk radio topic, which is when do you go to the undrafted rookie quarterback and see what he's got? Here's Aaron Glenn's answer.
Still developing. He's still developing. And listen, there's been a plan for him from the very beginning, and I wanted to make sure we do what's right for him. And who knows? You know, we'll see what happens as the season progresses. I'm not promising anything, but he knows exactly what his role is when it comes to this team. But I'll say right now, Tyrod is our starter.
He's going to play. That answer tells me that Brady Cook is going to start a game as quarterback of the New York Jets.
Here's what I'm curious about. Which I think would have been a better question, because we've learned this lesson a lot with NFL teams. Hell, we learned it with the New York Giants this year. The moment you make a move like this because you want to evaluate other guys and Tyrod Taylor gives you a better chance to win, you need to play the what-if game after. And the what-if game really, really does pertain to Tyrod Taylor, which is, you know, he takes another football to the ribs, gets the wind knocked out of him. We've seen him get hurt a million different ways in his career. Why not Brady Cook at quarterback number two? And let him take
the I think the answer is clear. I don't think he's ready yet. Now, how we deem
we're at Thanksgiving here.
Well, he's an undrafted rookie.
But my point is, if he's not ready now,
right,
you're interpreting that as we're going to see him play.
Oh, I definitely think we're going to see him play. That answer to me, I don't know if you read it the same way, is we're not there yet. He's not there yet, but we're going to see him play. And I think a part of that is this. Here's what I think this is related to. We talked about who gives you the best chance to win, right?
Yeah.
And that answer now is Tyrod Taylor. The backup is still Justin Fields. As inconsistent as Justin Fields has been, he would still give the Jets a better chance to win than going to a third-string quarterback, an undrafted rookie who has not taken a snap yet. But there's going to come a point in this season, and I'll be specific on when. I think it's week 16 in New Orleans against the Saints, where Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji are going to say, screw it. They're going to say, all right, we've done our evaluations. We don't have a lot of wins. Let's see what this kid's got. And oh, by the way, if we lose the last three games, to your point about tanking or the kinder word Tommy's looking for, so be it. Not that you're purposely losing, but that you're at least saying, you know what, let me see what this kid's got. I don't think you do it this early because it clearly is not in the best interest of your team winning games and not in the best interest of some of those skill position players we talked about.
I don't disagree. It's just very tough to see Tyrod Taylor, if this were to happen, which has happened a lot in his career, get hurt in the second quarter of this game, and here comes Justin Fields. It just feels very deflating to the team instead of maybe the energy. But I also agree with the idea of, look, he's an undrafted rookie for a reason. You stash him on the practice squad for a reason. It doesn't mean you have to see him this year. Otherwise, he would be a guy picked in the first three rounds. What is the point of playing him? But you want to see him week 16, you're interpreting him as playing. I would guess, I think you're wrong.
Really? You don't think he plays?
I don't think he
plays. You don't think that answer almost told you, we're not there yet, but we're going to be there at some point?
I think it's the door is open where they're intrigued by his ability, but I just look at the timing, man. Like, If you don't think he's there to at least be a backup by Thanksgiving, I have a hard time thinking in 4 weeks you think he's ready to take snaps versus.
Well, I don't think it's squarely just based on that. I think it's also they've benched Justin Fields. He's not thrilled about it. I don't think they're going to send him to the Russell Wilson route of you're the third string quarterback immediately, especially if the guy you're elevating is an undrafted rookie. So I don't think they're going to do that this early in the season. Also, you brought up something, and I hope it's not true, but it probably will be true. Tyrod Taylor's injury prone.
He is.
There's a damn good chance that whether it's this weekend in Baltimore, next weekend against Atlanta, or the weekend after that against Miami, he's going to have some kind of injury. He always does. I hope he doesn't. I want him to stay healthy. I hope the guy gets another chance to play. But there's a better chance than not that he gets hurt. And so the backup's going to have to be elevated. And so I think we'll see Justin Fields again. And I think when this season is really, really over, which is week 16 or week 17, that's when they'll roll the rookie out, or as I like to call it, the, quote, maybe we have something in this guy game. Because I've gone through that a lot. Greg McElroy, maybe we got something, bro. Bryce Petty, maybe we got something, bro. Matt Sims.
Matt Sims.
Maybe we got something, bro.
Do you even want that?
Yes. Yeah, I think at the very end I would want that, yes.
Okay, can I just play this out long term as long as we're here? Okay, he plays week 16 versus the Saints. Week 17 is in Buffalo?
New England. Then Buffalo.
Okay.
Yep.
Let's say Brady Cook comes in and they go 2-1 and he kind of looks good, has a couple pepper step. Is that stopping you from drafting a quarterback?
Absolutely not. Not stopping me from drafting a quarterback, but it leads to the next question.
Okay.
Which is Justin Fields is done here. He may get elevated again if there's an injury like we talked about. He's not going to be on this team next year. It's over. It's donezo. So the Jets are probably going to be looking for another veteran quarterback stopgap next year. They could always bring Tyrod Taylor back, sure, but it's not going to be Justin Fields. And we'll go through it coming up in a few minutes on who that veteran may be. But if you can at least get a young player to show you some promise, he could at least be in that mix next year. Not to necessarily be the backup, but at least be a factor in a quarterback room that is going to look very different a year from now. There's no negative to that.
All right, I'm fine. If that's what you mean, maybe you have something here in terms of a guy who could be rostered on the NFL team to fill in games after your starter gets hurt or something.
What we're not going to do, Sean, what we're not going to do is pull a you or pull a Tommy.
I was about to say this.
And have Brady Cook be our new Jesus, okay? That's not going to happen.
I was going to tell you that. You don't want to be us.
No.
Where you're looking into a camera for no reason after a touchdown on Isaiah Hodgins going, I think we have our quarterback.
I'm putting my left hand up.
All right.
Is it your left hand or right hand that you're supposed to put up?
Right hand.
Well, I'm a lefty, so I'm going to go left hand.
No, you put both up, then you do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself about.
I'm going to put both hands up and I'm going to promise something to you, Sean, to you, Tommy, and to the audience. When Brady Cook eventually plays, no matter how good he looks, I will not be talking about him the way Tommy talked about Tommy DeVito or the way Sean talked about Tommy DeVito. And I think the quotes are, I think we have our quarterback. And in Tommy's case, he's the next Tom Brady. Like, I'm not going to do any of that.
Right,
I have more confidence in Zach Wilson than I do Justin Herbert.
There's lessons to be learned.
Out of context. So that's my promise to you.
All right. Even with his name being Brady.
Okay. Even with some of his college statistics being sort of similar to Tom Brady.
Even with him looking like Blake Griffin.
Blake Griffin?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll have to reevaluate that. About to run to keep rolling. And I'm bound to keep on riding. I got one more.
McMonagle here with you. I got you for 5 hours on our five-hour midnight ride as we take you to 5 a.m. in the warm-up show. We got Rami Lavi still hanging out on the other side. Fleegs coming in. Taking your calls at 888-808-1019. As we're watching the end of the Knick game, 106-103. Once that ends, we will get into instant reaction on that because not a great game from the New York Knicks against a a team down there, two stars in Dallas, in the Dallas Mavericks, and a game that they have shot poorly, a game in which the bench has played poorly, a game in which this coach has thrown out a bunch of different variations of this team. Defensively, there's been some letdowns. Obviously, Brunson back for his first game, so we'll get into the Knicks. Well, this is one of those hodgepodge kind of five-hour shows. We got a little bit of everything. Obviously, just heard in the updates, the starting quarterbacks. And, you know, I do want to just start there because you want to try to still salvage a football season here. You still want to feel like there's a reason to watch on Sunday. And we'll get into whether or not Lamar Jackson, who didn't practice again today or yesterday now, Wednesday, if he's going to play for the Ravens and if the Jets have a chance to win the football game. But you just heard in the update from both coaches on their quarterback situation. And obviously, we've had a couple of days to talk about this. It's nice to hear the actual coach give us the information as opposed to leaks and everything else. And he was actually I thought he handled it fairly well. He came on, the press conference, he gives you the injuries. He even joked about why you're laughing because he knew what the first question was. It was a much more tame Aaron Glenn, who knew what was coming and the situation had already been leaked. We heard from, you know, players on the Jets already. So he told the team on Monday, he announced, and that Tyrod Taylor is going to be the quarterback moving forward. And it's 100% the right decision. It's 100% the right decision for a bunch of different reasons. And we just heard, like, this is not the end of Justin Fields either. Like, we just heard him mention that. Tyrod Taylor has not been able to stay healthy for how long? Forever. Like, the reason we all know Tommy DeVito's name is because Tyrod Taylor can't stay healthy. But this Jet team, whether they're better off losing or not, and you know how I feel, they're better off losing the football game. I get nothing from beating the Ravens. Nothing. Absolutely nothing from the third win of the season this late in the game. A week before Thanksgiving, the third win of the year means absolutely nothing to me. This is about the better draft pick. This is about what they've done since the trade deadline. Since they've acquired all those picks to the trade deadline, this is setting up towards the draft. And as much as I think the quarterback that gives them the best chance to lose is Justin Fields, you also have to evaluate this team. And that is without question the main reason they're doing this. Not because of Justin Fields. It shouldn't even be about the best chance to win. This is about this is a new wide receiver core that you just brought in. You just acquired and have now, started to develop a wide receiving core full of young, talented kids who either didn't fit in Philadelphia or didn't fit in Indianapolis. And you're trying to find out what you have as a football team. You're trying to find out who's going to fight for you. You're trying to find out who can battle when the game is close. And right now, the only way to see what an offense could actually look like in the NFL is to go to Tyrod Taylor. It is the only thing to do. It is the only thing to allow this football team to put on tape an actual offense and not have, you know, all the numbers we go through every week, whether it's the limited amount of passing yards in the first half or the just overall offense in the first half. You have to evaluate this team by actually giving them a quarterback who can throw the football and function inside an NFL offense. You have to. And then you get to the New York Giants, and somehow there is a conversation, and I still hear it. I still hear it from my Giant fan friends that he shouldn't play, that Jaxson Dart shouldn't play, that Jaxson Dart should take the rest of the season off. We know what he is. Why risk it? I still don't trust that this team, obviously, with everything else going on, right? With everything else going on. You don't trust this coaching staff now with Kafka, who has still led to the same issues. Right, the game went exactly the same as it did with Brian Daboll. You have the same issues of, you know, leaks in the media, the two reports that came out, whether it was defining what happened with Carter through leaks, or the idea that the team is trying to, you know, justify how they've handled the young cornerback through the leak, the story that broke Sunday morning with Adam Schefter. Like, you've got leaks, you've got losing. You've got players taking to Twitter. You got the thing with, I don't want to get into the Cam Scataboo thing again. I'm tired of that conversation. I think it was stupid, okay? I'm sorry. If I get another person saying, I guess he can't walk out of his house. Like, walking out of his house is the same thing as shoving professional wrestlers on one foot. You people drive me nuts. Oh, I guess,
I guess he can't cross the street. I guess he can't drive a car. No, he can't drive a car. He's got one leg. If you can't drive a car, you can't push a WWE star. It's that simple. But you have all that circling this team. But here's the thing. And I know Jackson Dart is the saving grace of everything. And we talk so much about this coaching job. And we'll continue to take your calls on who should be the next coach of the New York Giants at 888-808-1019. And we'll get into some of the different names and everything that's gone on with this team and how he is what makes this a promising job. What makes, for me, and I don't know how you feel, but I would rather have Jackson Dart than all the first-round picks in the land. Like, so for me, going forward, yeah, the Giants are in a better position. As ugly as it's been, as much as I've talked about how they've morphed into being the New York Jets and won just... I think I used the term yesterday, amalgamation of disaster or whatever I used. Like, they've all kind of just become one terrible New York football scene. Because of Jackson Dart, the New York Giants have a bright future, at least what we potentially view as a bright future. And it feels like so many people are afraid of something happening, right? Cam Scatterby was allowed to do anything, I get it. But God forbid you actually let... He's allowed to go on Raw and push guys around with a half a foot. But the quarterback can't play football. And I know he's the shining star. And I know he's what is the only thing that we're looking forward to. I get it. But we don't know about Jackson Dart yet. I can yell about it. You can yell about it. We can make our assumptions. We can watch the game. It's been terrific. He's played extremely well. There is no doubt about it. But when you're a rookie, like, every single snap is so important. And it's not just the evaluation process, because we know he's the starting quarterback next year. We know that they're going to bank on it. Now, what happens next year with the new coach, to the point I've been trying to make all freaking season long since he took over, whatever happens with the coach next year, well, that will happen next year. But you can't be afraid, and you can't sit this kid. As Kafka told you, he's healthy. He plays. You still have to evaluate him. You still have to work on him with things. You still want to see him now with hopefully Isaiah Hodgins and an offensive line that probably played its best game. That probably played its best game we have seen in I don't know how long. A decade? 12 years? I thought the offensive line was imposing their will last week against the Green Bay Packers. That running attack and the ferocity at which they were able to push the pile 9 yards on a quarterback sneak from Jameis Winston, that's as well as the offensive line has played all year and possibly all decade and certainly probably since Tom Coughlin. So as the season goes along, you're going to have to coach him to get down, no doubt. But you're putting him in front of what is probably the best offensive line we've seen. Now you've added Hodgins, who I think, honestly, is their best wide receiver weapon they've had since Neighbors went down inside this offense where he obviously feels comfortable. You've got a run game that was really working. Go build something. Because as much as I tell you it's about the draft pick and it's about acquiring that young quarterback, they don't have to. It's still about the draft pick. And I told you last week, I didn't mind that they lost to Green Bay because to me, it's not about building with the team. It's not about building with this coach because he's probably not the coach. It's not about building with the quarterback because he's not going to be the starting quarterback. As long as Jackson Dart's not on the field, it's not about winning. It's about losing. It's about tanking. It's about getting the pick. But with Jackson Dart on the field, I do believe you can build something. You can build something. You can have this team believe in him. And I know that they already feel that way. And we've heard Illuminor talk about him as soon as he took over, pretty much. And the coach, Brian Daboll, before he was fired, talked about him being the leader of the team already as soon as he stepped foot on the field. And we all saw it, him and Scatterboo in particular, just completely changing the feel of the team. But that can't just end now with a concussion and all these weeks of not playing him. So I don't think the Giants are even considering it. I don't think anybody inside football would even suggest this, but I continue to hear the idea that because he got hurt, and here's the other thing on it. Like, I am very concerned about concussions. I don't want to belittle the injury at all. Concussions are scary. We know how it affects you long-term as well as short-term. Like, I'm not saying throw caution to the wind. Who cares he had a concussion? If he is having any sort of side effects or any ramifications still, then absolutely do not play him. But it feels like he's trending towards playing, and I understand he runs a lot, but I know it's been so long since Giant fans have been able to hold on to anything, but the instant reaction to try and put this kid in bubble wrap because he had a concussion, I don't ever remember anyone, like, they had a neck injury with Daniel Jones, like, and I don't ever remember, oh my God, you can't play him. Like, it was like, as soon as he's healthy, get out there. But with Jackson Dart, it feels like there's some sort of narrative that you have to put him in bubble wrap. You have to save him from the Giants. You have to save him from himself. He's got to go play football. He's got to go be a rookie. He's got to go make rookie mistakes and get it out of his system. He's got to go build something with this team, a belief in who he is and what this offense can be. And I cannot believe the narrative that anybody would not want to see him on the field as soon as he is humanly possible, as soon as he is absolutely ready. Now, he can't be diving headfirst for the extra yard. He can't be taking on contact on the sidelines. He can't be doing things. I still think you run him. I still think you run him. That's his game. All right, you limit it a little bit, and certainly if a game gets out of reach one way or another, and we doubt it's going to be by the Giants being up by a ton, but if the game gets out of reach, if there is, you know, if there's garbage time or, like, all right, yeah. But if they're in a game against the Lions, which, let's be honest, even the Lions, they have been in a lot of these games for the most part. I expect them to keep it somewhat competitive. That's what they've been able to do. You've got to have him out there. He has not figured out anything. He is not guaranteed to be anything. Like, you need to see Jackson Dart play football. You need to build something with him. You need to go out there and trust him, trust in his ability, trust that he's getting the message that he's got to treat this game differently and treat his ability to run the football differently and allow him to go out there and continue to prove why he's as, why we think he's as special as he is. He's got to be out there for building purposes, and Tyrod Taylor's got to be out there for the same reason. The Jets need to evaluate what they have, and you can't do that with Justin Fields. And that leads into the conversation about this regime trusting Justin Fields and paying him the money and for it to take this long and all that. And we'll get to it at 888-808-1019.
As I asked the Giants fans, are you now full on the tank or do you want Dart to come back and win some games? Or now is it all the way, hey, get us the highest draft pick so we can finesse some things? The Jets in 2 weeks will play the Falcons with Kirk Cousins. That's another NFL storyline. Michael Penix Jr., who the Falcons took eighth overall, if you remember, draft night 2 years ago, I came in wearing my Vic Falcons jersey. I thought that was the steal of the draft. Instead of them taking Dallas Turner like they were projected to, they take Michael Penix Jr., and I'm like, they got the quarterback. The quarterback's the most important. You're going to need him. And they ended up elevating him last year. But, and Giants fans remember this, because you were looking for a quarterback that year and took Malik Nabers. The MO on him was too many knee procedures, too many knee injuries, been hurt too much, and he's a little bit older. I think they said this is his fourth season-ending knee injury in, like, the last 9 years, 8 years. It's crazy. But what I'm saying is, okay, the Falcons, who play indoors, the Falcons, who do have some skill positions, but they're banged up, and now they're relying on Kirk Cousins. I think I was listening to C-Mac's show last week, and somebody called and suggested that the Jets get Kirk Cousins. I'm like, boy, we will say anything. Draft Archie Manning, trade for Shedeur Sanders, go get Kirk Cousins. Well, I see the Jets' third win coming when the Falcons got to come to the cold Meadowlands on November 30th and face the Jets. Jeff Ulbrich will be back in town. Ah, yeah, so if Jeff Ulbrich is back in town against the Jets, he's going to know what to do. His defense will be ready. The Jets probably lose that game by something stupid. And I don't know. If it's Tyrod Taylor starting, cool. But do not, and this is something that needs to be talked about, do not just take Justin Fields out of the game plan. You're paying him way too much money. 888-808-1019 to bring the Jets fans in on that, right? With all of the guaranteed money for this year and next year with Justin Fields, it's kind of ridiculous. And I'll take a call, and then I will open up the can more, and I'll even have Fleegs weigh in on it because I know he knows. And shout out to Fleegs. He is just kind of abstained and fallen all the way back from as soon as he knew this new regime was coming in. I guess if you've lived it your entire life, it's going through the motions like the Giants. But for the amount of money that they've wasted on Justin Fields, make him the short yardage quarterback, have some design runs still in the offensive game plan, let him get a series, and let him be goal line. Let him be Taysom Hill. Why not? Jarvis is up in Harlem on the fan. Go for it, Jarvis. Jarvis, bro, you've been falling asleep, man. I know it's late. Sleep is important. I literally sent out a tweet before this show, and I said, I'm going to do a radio show that you can listen to or watch, but you can also go to bed because your sleep is important, and it will be available at any time tomorrow. It's now tomorrow, and Jarvis, I got to let you go. You disappointed me, man. But I know what you were going to do. Jarvis is a former Jets fan converted to Packers fan. The Packers were just in town, beat the Giants. So he's probably going to say something about that, but first he was going to lead with bagging on the Jets. That's Jarvis' main thing when he calls. He's going to say something about the Jets, how they don't know what they're doing, and they don't know what they're doing. Because to give, now I'm about to unpack all of it, to give Justin Fields that much money and not have an exact plan for him to get the best out of him, right? You remember when Brian Daboll said that he watched every play of Russell Wilson's career? I was like, sounds like a waste of time. You could have just watched the last season. But I'm like, okay, he's doing his due diligence, right? This is the guy that's going to come in here and play quarterback to try to save his job. He's trying to see what he does well, what he doesn't do well, what has worked for him, whatever. What can he do in my system? Even though when we talk about wasting money, Joe Shane, I'm talking to you again. There's no need for you to sign Russell Wilson. You want to talk about lighting $10 million on fire and not giving yourself an opportunity the first few games? You sign Jameis first. You didn't need Russell Wilson here for what? For Sierra to pull up? Anyway, with the Jets unpacking that situation, Aaron Glenn, no, let's start with Darren Mugi because he's part of this too, a former quarterback that, like, I don't know, they better go get some counsel. They better find somebody that can identify the next quarterback that they're going to draft because this is all tied together. Your first opportunity, right, you come in and you tell a Hall of Fame quarterback and Aaron Rodgers, who's most likely out this week? Mason Rudolph probably playing for him. The NFL script writers are cooking, man. CJ Stroud is out. Dylan Gabriel is out. Justin Fields is out. Aaron Rodgers is out. Who am I forgetting? There's some backup quarterback playing somewhere I probably didn't mention. Brock Purdy is back. But for the Jets to kick Aaron Rodgers to the curb, to go hand Justin Fields all that money is crazy. It's absolutely nuts. And not have a plan for him. And stupid me, I was convinced that since they were with the Lions, they saw him in Chicago, they knew exactly what style of offense they were going to run, they were going to maximize him. And stupid me saw Sam Darnold, saw Baker Mayfield, saw even like Geno Smith, saw some quarterbacks go to other places and prosper where I'm like, maybe this is next for Justin Fields because Justin Fields was supposed to be him. But now that you've wasted all that money, still try to get something out of him. Tyrod is frail. Tyrod is small. Tyrod cannot run. He's going to try and, you know, be elusive and do a little bit here, but you can't put him in harm's way. You definitely can't. Now those design runs with Tyrod are gone. I would keep them in the offense with Justin Fields, and I would proceed that way. And you can trust that they're going to try to win every game. And when I look at the rest of their schedule, the Falcons game is potentially winnable. I no longer think they can beat the Dolphins now, but who knows? It's a December 7th game. Miami being a warm weather team, they do not want to be out here in the cold. I don't know if they're beating the Saints either, but maybe. Those are probably the only three games left for them to win. Falcons, Dolphins, Saints. They're not beating the Jags with what the Jags look like, especially down there in Duval. How about a mistake for them? I forget their GM's name. This kid comes in, and is ranting and raving about, you know, how you got to take chances. This kid's 34 years old. That's why I can call him a kid. James Gladstone, the new GM that traded up like he was trading up to get Eli Manning. And he drafts Travis Hunter, tries to make him the Shohei Ohtani in the NFL. Boy, is a buck 75 trying to go out there and play both sides of the ball. You knew he wasn't going to. I remember Devontae Adams in a podcast was like, nah, I don't think it's going to work, bro. It's too physical. It's too rough of a game. But anyway, let's get to some of these Jets calls as well, as far as Justin Fields now officially is a waste of money. Justin Fields now, you've seen enough of a sample size that he cannot play the quarterback position, and they did not have a plan for him. He has been officially benched because Tyrod Taylor's knee is good, and he's ready to go. So they're going to try and win games. There is no tank. You know Aaron Glenn, you know he wants to go in the locker room and say, who wants to fly with them freaking Jets? So he's going to try and win games. And they're not worried about where they're going to be picking in the draft. But I'll say this before we start talking to you guys. You know, they have to take a quarterback next year. This thing did not work. It's a mandate. Woody, tell them they got to take a quarterback. Right now, Fernando Mendoza at 3 overall is supposed to go take Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders' job in Ohio. And then that drops Dante Moore out of Oregon, who I'm not sure about Dante Moore. It's always risky taking these quarterbacks that don't have a ton of college experience, especially at first, right? That was the case with two other quarterbacks, Mark Sanchez and Sam Darnold. They didn't play their full college time out. They come from the West Coast. They come here. It's a lot for these young guys. So 888-808-1019. This Jets regime is now, they have the dead cap money from Aaron Rodgers. If they cut Justin Fields, I'll get the numbers on that. That's more wasted money. And then they got to draft a quarterback, and they better not miss on said quarterback. Johnny in Sparta on the Fan. What's up, Johnny?
What's up, man? Yo, I think we should get Mendoza. I think that's what we...
If you trade Sauce Gardner... Yeah, go on.
Hear me out. I've been with the Jets my whole life. I have friends that worked for the Jets. They got fleeced on Le'Veon Bell. They paid Santonio Holmes. So all the mistakes, they paid Aaron Rodgers. You can't go backwards. You got a good coach who's a winner, who's part of the alumni.
They have a good coach who's a winner?
He started 0-11 with the Lions. Look what he got behind
Dan Campbell. Yes, I understand. Go on.
So I'm thinking you traded Sauce Gardner. You've got two firsts for Sauce Gardner. You gotta draft your quarterback now. The time is now. If you got Mendoza there in April, that's Jets Christmas right there. Jets holiday right there. You gotta take Mendoza if he's there, because you can't look backwards. You gotta get your quarterback. This is it. We bet the farm on Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't work out. You gave him everything. Let him bring all his buddies in. You traded a third for Devontae Adams. Look what he's doing now in the Rams.
Yeah, they made a ton of mistakes. Thanks for the call, Johnny. I will not call Aaron Glenn a winner. Like, Aaron Glenn looks like the guy that lied on his resume a lot. He looks like the guy that embellished a bit. And when you get him there, it's like, wait, you don't know how to use Excel? Fernando Mendoza over Dante Moore, but I have a sneaky... Like, I kind of think Ty Simpson could, you know, because right now they have three quarterbacks in a row on Tankathon. Fernando Mendoza, Ty Simpson, Dante Moore going to the Browns, Saints, and Jets. And if the Jets end up having to take Dante Moore, I think he's not the one you want out of the three. But there's so much to be seen, man. We don't really know. Jarvis is back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.